Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Noah, and I am joined by my co-host,
Kayla.
Even though we've had multiple episodes in the year 2023, we are officially in 2023. It's here. Technically, the first month is almost over as we record this, so we were a little late on this one this year because we wanted to make sure we had a good ranking for our top 10.
Yeah.
And it's also good to ease in to the year. I feel like we had some good, like Megan, Hook, had a good cinema swap, just some nice easy episodes to start the year before we get into this big recap of 2022 and then looking ahead to 2023.
I agree.
Yeah, it's been a lot of movies have come out this year. We have a lot of thoughts on them. Before we get to all of that though, let's get to the answers that we had to last week's question of the week.
Yes,
if you don't know, we ask a question at the end of every episode out of the kindness of our hearts, and we open it up to the audience to give their opinions, because our opinions do matter more, but their opinions kind of like they somewhat matter. So we like to hear from them every now and then. So our question was, what movie would you turn into a sitcom? This is because we talked about The Odd Couple, and The Odd Couple was a movie that got turned into a sitcom. And then did we talk about that in the episode at all? That was one, or it was more like the casting that got us off the rails.
Yeah,
and
then we talked about how they should make the show again now.
Oh, yes. And then the casting the new show, right?
Yes, and then we cast the new show.
Right. We still haven't gotten any calls from, I don't know who made that, Warner Brothers. We haven't got any calls yet, but we'll let you know. Let's go over to Instagram first. See Bryce's first. He said Parasite, but then he also said it would probably need a few more jokes, which, no, that's true. I feel like there could be...
I don't know how you would...
You would have to do it in between, like, and have it be the part where the family is, like, working for them, and just, like, I guess, right? Like, what? Because you couldn't set it afterwards.
I guess.
It would have to be, like, in the middle of the movie. They're like, meanwhile, this was happening, like, one of those things.
And then there's like a scene every once in a while of the guy in the basement.
Maybe it is just the guy in the basement. It's like the prequel. And it's like, and then it goes into when the movie happens and they play audio from the movie faintly in the background. So, you know, like that's what's going on upstairs. Hmm. But he's down there.
I'm going to take the L on that one. I don't think that's a good, I'm going to. Yeah, sorry,
maybe
Bryce.
Maybe Bryce has a better, like, an
maybe
idea of what he would do.
Maybe he has the concept, but it's not hitting for me.
Two sides of the same coin pod wrote in and said, The Notebook. You are a famous, huge fan of The Notebook. So
yeah,
what do you think about this
big
one?
Big time Notebook hater. I don't really know.
But again, like, would it have to be in the middle of the movie? Because, like, you can't set it after the movie. So it's a lot of these, the point of this is that it has to be like something that could happen after the movie and then it's a sitcom. I don't think it's working for me.
Yeah, or like a spinoff even, like
right.
Some kind of spinoff. It's been a long time since I've seen The Notebook and I try not to think about it too often.
Maybe it's like Fargo and every season is different and every season is a new notebook and like a new kind of relationship kind of thing.
Huh. Okay.
And then Dan got another rom-com in here saying About Time, which I haven't seen.
Okay.
Have you seen that, I think,
I have, yes. It's not my favorite. Doesn't your mom love that movie?
That's like her favorite movie, yeah.
Yeah, we should do an episode on that one. Interesting.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't, it's definitely not my favorite. The first time I watched it, I thought it was just fine. But I could see it because it's like a time travel-y one. And so I could see them doing some time travel. And it like runs in the family. So like the dad had time traveled too. And like it's like a thing. So I feel like there's a lot of options and ways that could go. I think that's a great answer, actually.
This one is my favorite just because I haven't thought about this movie in 3 years. But Zach Smith said on Twitter, Stuber. Best thing about the movie is Dave Bautista and Camille Nanjiani. I check with them once a week, which I feel like is actually a really good answer because it's one where it's like you can continue the theme of the what the movie's about and just keep coming up with different ideas for stories with it.
Have not seen Stuber.
I haven't either. I just remember like the big like posters for it when I went to the theater.
Yeah, the trailers.
2019. Like, is this the first time someone's talked about Stuber since it came out? When was the last time someone was like, wow, no, it's a good movie. Stuber, one of my favorites.
But we do like Dave Bautista, so yeah, I would
Camille Nanjiani's, I think, is really funny. So I would like to see a sitcom with both of them doing what anything, honestly. So,
cool. I'll get over to the questions we got or the answers we got from Spotify.
Mm.
Mike said, "I need that '70s show style Scooby-Doo sitcom." It'd be adult, but not utter trash. Would that be like live action, do you think?
Probably.
Like
that's
a
what
live
I would
action?
Think. Yeah, maybe like a spoof of it almost. What if they did like a live action where it was really obviously like spoofing Scooby-Doo, but like they didn't use the actual name?
Or
like,
oh, okay.
Instead of Shaggy, it was like Waggy. And then, like, instead of Fred, it was Jeff or something. I don't know. It could be kind of funny. And then they could get away with more because it wouldn't be the real IP, too. And they call it Loop-de-Doo. That's the name.
Loop-de-Doo.
And they're all on, because they're all on drugs. That's also the joke. Like,
now,
right.
Here's what he also said. He said, maybe a Groundhog Day sitcom because I want to see how much they can get away with.
But we're... Wow, this is actually a little foreshadowing. Not going to say why, but it is a little foreshadowing. I just don't know. I feel like they take the Groundhog Day thing as long as they can in the movie. I don't know if I could deal with any more Groundhog Day stuff. Like, the same day every episode, I don't know. That would be tough. Like, every episode starts with, like, him hitting the alarm clock.
That would be kind of funny, but I think it would be a lot. Like, you'd really have to get creative with it if you didn't want it to, like, die out fast.
Yeah, it would be like they would have to change the format by season two. Like, there's no way they could keep it every episode, multiple seasons, him hitting the alarm clock the exact same day. That's actually like a nightmare if someone made me watch like four seasons of Groundhog Day. wow. Maybe it would work though for that reason. What else did we get on Spotify?
Joe Miller said pop star never stopping.
This is another good answer because it's like just you want a movie that's just a concept of an idea that you could take further, and that is like one of those where you can just keep going with a concept longer and longer.
I haven't seen that one, but I'm familiar with it, and I feel like they could do a lot of just like silly things with it.
Yeah, and I Andy Samberg should just be in another sitcom too, so like it's a great way to get him in another sitcom, just boom, right in there. What is he doing these days? Just like voicing animated
Andy
characters?
Samberg?
That seems like all he's done is just Chip and Dale, and then probably didn't he do like that Paws of Fury movie, or maybe that wasn't him. I don't know. I just feel
I
like
know.
He
I
hasn't done anything
one.
Recently, and I really like him, but last couple of years just kind of not much.
Let's see if he has any he has a couple projects in his IMDb, so
I think he recently had a kid, so it's probably like just taking a little bit of down. The voice animation is like something you can go at the studio.
And there was also a pandemic, so
that's
that kind
true
of...
that also happened. The last time I remember seeing him was Palm Springs, which was really good. I like that movie.
And then the final answer is from Noah Hewitt, who said Casper.
Sure. Yeah.
I think I don't know how it would
work.
Wasn't
there a Casper show?
There is a Casper show. It's like Casper Scare School or something.
Oh, that sounds kind of lame though. What is that, like a Wednesday ripoff, but with Casper?
It's him. It's him learning how to be how to scare, because the whole concept of Casper is he's a good
ghost. Monsters University, maybe.
So he has to learn how to be a scary ghost instead of ghost.
They already did that. I was thinking, what if they did a Monsters University sitcom? But they kind of already did that with the Monsters at Work. What happened to that show? That show really like did not go anywhere.
Yeah, it was fine. It's hard to have new characters, I think, was the problem.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
They've
watched
only made
most of it.
The one season, but it says to present on Wikipedia, so they must have more planned.
I think they were renewed for a second season.
Okay.
It's definitely a fine show. Like, there's nothing, like, really bad about it, but it's also not, like, Monsters, Inc., you know?
Not standout, right. And it's hard to live up to Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
All right, well, hopefully Warner Brothers is listening to this episode, because we just gave them a lot of new HBO shows that they can cancel. Maybe that will be their next strategy for 2023, which is the year that we are moving into. But first, let's take a look back on memory lane with our 2022 year in movies. So we do one of these episodes every year, and at the end of these episodes, we like talk about what movies we're excited for in the coming year. So we did that last year, talking about what movies we were excited for in 2022. So what do we do here? Do we just go through the movies like a little bit and talk about them?
Yeah, I think you should just go through your list, say what you saw, if they actually were good, and then I can share some of the commentary that I jotted down from last year's episode.
That I said, like, my comments on the movies last year before
they came
out.
There weren't a whole lot. We didn't share too much.
We'll have to share more of this today, then.
Yeah,
just
there's
to make
some,
it more funny.
There's a couple comments.
All right. So I have my first movie I put was Kimmy. That's a really weird, like, first one to start with. I don't know why that was, like, the first one I thought of.
You just were like, oh, it's a new Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I ended up liking it. I don't really feel like Oliver, like, it didn't have much staying power, but I liked watching it. I thought it was fun. Blonde, that was an L. That I'll take the L on that one. You know, who would have known? It could have gone either way, really. At the time, no one knew. So it was a shot in the dark, and it didn't end up panning out. The Northman, like that movie. Pinocchio, the Del Toro version, that was great. Liked it. Babylon, we'll get to Babylon a little later. A great movie.
You did say that Babylon was your most anticipated release.
Wow. Am I looking into the crystal ball or something?
Are you a psychic?
Am I a psychic? Well, I definitely got this one wrong, though, because next I said Thor, Love, and Thunder, and that was another L.
And about that one, you said you were excited because they would give Taika more reign over it.
Well, that did happen.
And I think that did happen, and it was its main downfall. So
That's true. Yeah, I technically still was right, even though I was wrong. Avatar 2, another classic. Great movie.
And then we did say, hey, maybe we'll do an episode on Avatar.
And we did.
And apparently I said that I had a really good story to share about the first Avatar movie. I don't know what story I was talking about. I couldn't tell you now.
I guess we'll never know. And then the last one I put that was dated was The Fabelmans. Great movie. Loved it. Undated, I think almost all of these didn't come out. So Asteroid City, Disappointment Boulevard, which is now Beau's Afraid, Killers of the Flower Moon, The Killer, those all didn't come out. White Noise did come out. I saw it. It was fine. Armageddon Time came out. Have not seen it. So that movie really came and went.
Yeah, I had totally forgotten about it. I remember seeing the trailer and being like, oh my God, Jeremy Strong.
Well, Jeremy Strong. And I still feel like I should see it. Like, every time I remember that, like, the cast,
like,
I'm like, oh.
Dropped off the face of the planet. It never.
It was in theaters for like a week.
Yeah, didn't screen literally anywhere around me. I think I saw that you can rent it now, like on Apple.
Is it like a real price? Like a $5.99?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe so.
Maybe after Oscars, because I still have a lot. I want to try to watch some of those more, but.
Yeah.
All right. What did you say in your anticipated?
So I said my most anticipated was Knives Out 2, which at that point we didn't have a title. Which is kind of funny just to look at that now.
Yeah, right.
I had said Spider-Verse 2, which obviously that didn't end up coming
out. I feel like that was really recently in the year too. So that must have been like the next couple weeks later after we made the episode.
Yeah, so that'll be on this next year's anticipated list. The Batman, obviously.
Banger.
Was
the banger
good.
Man.
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which was fun.
It was fine.
And you said about that it would be, quote, interesting.
Hey.
And then.
Was I right?
I said it looked, quote, chaotic. So
hey,
I feel
think
like
we were both
were
right.
Spot on. We said it would be a good time, and it was.
We watched that movie together.
We did.
In a movie theater.
We did.
So Fun times.
Then I said Legally Blonde 3, which didn't come out. I put it on this year's list, but we'll see. It's kind of like indefinite if this is coming or not.
Right. I mean, I have no idea. I haven't heard about it in a while.
I said Nope would probably be good, was bummer. My quote. Unfortunately, took the L on that one. It was not good.
I mean, some people didn't take the L, but you did.
Yeah, a lot of people really liked it, but I was in the minority.
I've been seeing a lot more love for it recently, too. I think since it didn't get nominated for much, I've been seeing a lot of tweets about it recently.
Yeah. I said Bros, and this was before we had gotten any, like, pre-content about it. So all we knew about it was that it was, like, going to be a gay rom-com.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch this?
I didn't, because I didn't get a chance to see it. I've thought about watching it on Peacock, but it's not like my top priority, you know what I mean?
So much for LGBTQ plus activism.
I know, wow, this movie is so progressive. Yeah, it only screened for a couple weeks, and I just was like, it came out when I was like working all the time in the evening, so I just never got a chance to go see it, unfortunately. So well,
one day.
Maybe not unfortunately, I don't know.
I didn't love it, but who knows?
And then I had Don't Worry Darling on here, which I never saw, because I didn't want to once I saw the kind of like stuff about it. And this would have been before, like, I think maybe we had gotten, like, the teaser trailer at this point. So
teaser
there was,
trailer
like,
still bangs. It's
yeah,
great teaser
so,
trailer.
Like, at that point, it still looked like it was going to be, like, a cool movie. But then, obviously.
It could have been cool. You know, I thought it was watchable for a one time, and it was fine. It was very mid.
Yeah.
More like mid-worried, darling.
Okay. I said Wendell and Wild, which I liked. My Father's Dragon, which I liked. Hocus Pocus 2, which I said, quote, I'm going to make us do an episode on it.
And we did.
And then I also said, quote, Hocus Pocus 2 is going to be amazing, end quote. Well, listener, it was not. it was also very mid. So that was unfortunate. And then I said Strange World, Disney's animated film, which was fine. I saw it.
Which you were the only person that saw in the world.
I was the only person who saw it out of anyone in the whole world. And it was fine. Yeah, it wasn't like amazing, anything to call home about. But it was fine.
I never understood that phrase. Like, what is to write home about? Like, even my favorite movie this year, I never like wrote home about, like, wow, what a great film.
Well,
writing
you
home
don't
about
write
this
about
one.
Anything, but like, probably at the time that wasn't phrase was
or
invented,
like,
you would
text,
write home.
Wouldn't like text home about maybe or call home. We haven't even changed it to call home yet. It's still write home. Still sending letters. We also have here then giving some of our 2022 Letterboxd stats. What do we usually give in this? Like,
I don't know how many movies we watched.
Okay. This was definitely less than like the last couple of years. I tried to be a little bit more selective with what I watched. I didn't want to like burn out on everything, and I think it ended up being pretty rewarding. So I had diary entries on Letterboxd were 345. So that could include some short films. I'm not sure like how many. I guess I could find out, but. I feel like I had like a healthy amount this year, at least in context. Like most people probably wouldn't think having 345 entries would be healthy. But I feel like in context of our lives, it was a healthier choice.
Yeah, I had 344. So
wow, we were one away.
We were one off from each other, which is crazy. But you had a lot more hours than I did because I watched a lot of like Hallmark movies, short films and stuff. So I had 498.8 hours.
Okay, 301 entries when I filter out short films. So there you go. If anyone was wondering, now you know.
Yeah, I watched 60 short films in 2022.
Yeah, you're a big short film guy. You're more of a short film guy than me.
Definitely. I like throwing them on. And then I watched 83 of the films that I watched were women directed.
Yeah, I did not have a great ratio this year. I think it was like 40 something.
L.
Let me see what it was. I know, it was bad. Last year was like 60. So yeah, this one was 44. I think I started out pretty well. And then like, let's see, let me look down my list. I had like peaks where I did a lot. And then it was like, then it fell off.
Who is your most watched actor?
Probably someone from Wes Anderson because yeah, mine of our was... Summer of West. Bill Murray is mine.
Mine is Owen Wilson.
Yeah. And Owen is in my second. So yeah, I think that
and then obviously,
my top director is Wes Anderson, 15 films.
Yeah, he's my top as well.
Yeah, that's the problem with doing a podcast. Your stats in that area can get skewed sometimes depending. So I think that's really usually all I share. I mean, let me see. Oh, you should share your watch list stat.
Oh yeah. So I had I watched 69 movies out of my watch list, and mm-hmm. I added 420, which is so crazy.
That's so funny. And also, 420 movies is also crazy that is so many movies to add to your watch list, too.
Yeah, I never knew that. I just had seen that stat when this past week, so.
Yeah, that's pretty, that's wild. My watch list is also very full, but it will continue to be that way, I think, for the rest of my life. I don't think it will ever. I don't think I'll ever have a year where I watch more than I add. You know,
no, that's there's no
one
way.
Of those things. Unless, like, I made a conscious effort to only watch movies on my watch list for a year, which is not happening. All right, let's get into our top 10 rank then. Let's just jump right into it. Do we want to go like 10-6 and 5-1, maybe?
That's usually what we do, yeah.
Okay, cool. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
You can start.
All right. We're not going to hit on these too much, depending. Maybe a couple of them, but we also have our secondhand film awards coming up, so we can have time to award these films then as well. And a lot of these we've already talked about, so it's like we don't need to belabor the point. All right. So at number 10, we have Everything Everywhere All at Once. I really tried to find... to see if I could swap this out for my 11, which is The Menu, but I feel like I just wouldn't be it wouldn't be fair. So it is in my top 10. It is a good movie. I just am done hearing about it. I'm done hearing about it everywhere. But yeah, that's my number 10. It is a good movie. I think it's just like fan culture can really sour the mood on things. Number 9, I have Avatar: The Way of Water. Number 8, I have Bones and All, which I want to rewatch because I feel like I might be able to move that one up a bit.
Yeah, that's one that I think would have been in my top 10 if I had gotten the chance to see it.
Yeah, because I think it's like one I've liked it more, too, the more I thought about it since I've left the theater. So I feel like if I watched it again, I could move it up. But for now, we're just going to keep it there. Number 7, Glass Onion. And then number 6, Cha-Cha Real Smooth, which really just fell out of the... awards race, unfortunate, because I thought that was a great movie, but I still liked it, so it's here at number 6.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet either. So my 10 through 6 are a little rocky, but it's fine.
This is always how it goes, though. We like the variety, I think.
At number 10, I have The Bad Guys. Fire movie.
It was a good movie. I liked that.
It was a fun movie. I really liked the animation in it, too.
It was very fun.
Yeah, it was a fun movie. Number 9, I have...
You have to explain this one.
Batman and Superman, Battle of the Super Sons.
What is this movie? I have never heard of this movie. Oh, sorry, I deleted it. Once in my life, never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a little obscure. It only was just added. It's actually been on my watch list for a while because I had seen like edits of it on TikTok, which is kind of how it was on my radar. It's like based on the like Super Sons comic that's like Superman's son and Batman's son. So it's like Robin and I mean, his name is Jonathan, but he's the son of Superman. And so it's them, like,
Jonathan. That's the best they could come up with.
Jonathan. Yeah, Jonathan Kent. Well,
because that's his father's name. That's Clark Kent's father's name was Jonathan.
Yeah, so he's...
A true small hill head.
He's basically, like, Superboy. And then Damian Wayne, or Robin, is Batman's son. So it's, like, them, their origin story of meeting the kids, and then they have to, like, fight because... Batman and Superman are like incapacitated. I watched this today. Like literally I just watched this.
This is a wild ad. I love it.
Yeah, it just was fun. I saw edits of it. TikTok got me. I saw edits of it on TikTok because I get like Robin edits on my TikTok for you page. And this was like a big movie in the Robin franchise, I guess, for editors. So that was
You haven't logged it yet. That's why I didn't know you watched it.
Yeah, I literally, like, just watched it, like, before this episode.
Batman and Superman, Battle of the Super Sons.
Yeah, fun
Is
one.
It on HBO?
HBO, yeah.
Okay. Watch it before they
Since
take it
it's
off.
DC. Yeah, before they erase it. And then at number 8, I have Better Nate Than Ever, which is also...
Is this the High School Musical, the musical, the series director movie?
Yes. It's based on the book series that he wrote. It was fun. It was cute. It was a good time. If I were to watch it again, I probably wouldn't like it as much. But I did like it. And then number 7, I have Hit the Road, which is...
I do need to see this, yeah.
If I watched it again, it might be higher. I really liked this one. I thought it was really, like, impressive. And the acting was really good. And then number 6, I have Last Film Show, which is like the Indian movie that was done over RRR was the controversy that movie caused.
That.
Was remember they didn't submit RRR for international feature. They submitted Last Film Show. So
right.
Number 5. Oh, not number 5. Sorry.
Do you want to keep going or do you?
No,
want me
you
to do
your 5.
Okay. All right. All right, so we are at the top 5, folks, and I really like these top 5, so I'm happy with how this came out. Okay, number 5 is Tar. You know, what is there to say about Tar? It's a cinematic masterpiece. No, I think it's real. I think this is a great movie, and it's really does humor really well because it's very self-serious, but it in a weird way, like it's also really funny. It's so weird how it's able to create like kind of its own world where it feels like reality, but it is a little bit heightened. That's why like then I think someone's like some newspaper or whatever. I don't know. They use the phrase like the Tar universe. And that's such a good way of putting it because it literally feels like their own universe. Like it's just such an interesting movie. There's a lot of Best Picture winners that I wouldn't mind seeing. And I wouldn't mind seeing this one Best Picture. Number 4, Top Gun Maverick. It's great time at the movies, flying through the air. Yeah, I can't wait. They just got like a few months ago that Steelbook, so I've been wanting to rewatch it. That first time watching this movie was just amazing. Great experience.
Yeah, I have my Steelbook literally within arm's distance right now on my desk.
Yeah. It's just like one of the best like movie experiences I've had in a long time watching Top Gun Maverick. Number 3, The Batman. I just rewatched this yesterday. I've seen it 3 times now. I think this is a great movie too.
It holds up so well.
It does.
Well on
it
a
really does.
Too.
It is like such an it's just so cool first of all. It's a cool cool movie. And I also really think it does a good job of weaving in the themes to the story. Like it actually feels like they have a thematic reason to tell the story and not just like, well, we want to make another Batman movie, so let's just make a Batman movie. Like, I actually think that they did a really good job weaving in the things that they wanted to say in the story, which I think is something that the other Batman movies really don't do. Like, Christopher Nolan kind of tried it, but he's notoriously bad for putting in, like, themes in his movies, in my opinion. I don't think, like, that's his strong suit. So I really liked this movie and I'm really excited for the new one. And I'll probably watch some of the series if they come out. Like I'll watch the first episode, see how they are. Okay. Number 2, The Fabelmans. I love this movie. I'm really glad to see that it got nominated for score because I think the score is really good. And John Williams, like, obviously John Williams doesn't have a ton of years left in the tank. So if this is like one of his last scores, I think it was a great one to go out on. Like a great like final score. Probably he's gonna do with Spielberg. I don't know. Maybe he's doing his next one, but I don't know. I just feel like at this point, it's the days are numbered where we're gonna get new John Williams scores, and I really like this one. And the movie is really good too, obviously. Yeah, I think this, it was a shame that it didn't really get enough time at the box office and like more box office stuff and people going to see it, because I don't know, maybe it was marketed wrong, but I also don't know like how you market this movie.
Well, they just pulled it from a ton of theaters too.
Yeah, it's like, I don't, they could have maybe marketed it different, but I just don't know what they could have done instead of just like, maybe they, I don't know, it's tough. And then also I think it came out like by around a little before Avatar, but Avatar kind of consumed everything once it came out. Speaking of Avatar consuming everything, my number one movie is Babylon. As you said, it was my most anticipated. And going into this movie, it's really scared because I was like, what if I hate this? Like, this is going to be truly the worst day of my life. And it was, you know, there was a lot of mixed stuff about it when I was going in. But this is one of probably my favorite movie release in the last like few years, I would say. I think it's just one of those that is going to be reassessed in a few years and people are going to be like, man, we did not give this movie the credit it deserves for how awesome it is. And Damien Chazelle, I think at this point, has proven to me that he's one of like the best directors working. I think you have to make like... I was waiting for one more because I need to rewatch First Man, but I love La La Land and I love Whiplash. So it's like I just needed one more to like cement him as like one of the directors of the generation. And I feel like this one with this movie, he just pulled it all out. Like he didn't leave anything on the field, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And I only got to see it once in theaters because I got COVID like right after I saw it, and then they pulled it out of theaters. So that was one of life's biggest disappointments. But I've already ordered Steelbook, and honestly, after I watched it, I went on like a lot of like a big thing with like watching a lot of different of the silent movies that it kind of pulled from. I bought the book that they pulled a lot of this ideas from too. And so I'm...
So what you're saying is you're just a big nerd.
I kind of took it as like, well, maybe I'll like do all the homework before I see it again.
And then watch it again? That's fun.
And watch it again. And I'm like, then I'll be able to appreciate all the different things in it.
Yeah,
basically, it is a very nerdy thing. It's like, wow, I got to learn all about silent old Hollywood so I can appreciate this movie even more.
Yep, that's how we like to do it here.
That's been my little project for the last month or so, doing all of that. So those are my top 10. What are your top five here, though?
Yeah, so at my number five, I have Downton Abbey, A New Era.
People love this movie.
It was great. I am a big Downton Abbey fan. It's one of my all-time favorite TV shows. I think it is a phenomenally made show. I've loved the movies that came out. But yeah, this one, I don't know, like, it just, like, it, for one, it was about the movies. Like, they made a movie, like, a film at their house. And so that was really fun because it was, like, made right when the silent era was transitioning to sound.
Could we do, like, a Downton Abbey Babylon double feature?
That would rock. Like
that would be a cool one.
No, it just was, like, I don't know, like, it was really emotional because they, like, wrapped up a lot of the characters, like main character storylines, because this is presumably the last one that's being made. Like the cast have said they would make more, but like this is probably the last one.
Why did they call it a new era if the era's over?
Well, because the new era is it's like the film era, but then they're taking a new era into their lives. Like it's them stepping into the new decade, basically.
Like, it kind of sounds like what you would do when you're trying to like rebrand a show and you're trying to be like, all right, this is now we got all the teenage counterparts to our main characters, like the Justice League, a new era kind of thing.
I don't know. It's good though. It made me really happy. I cried. All my favorite characters got great endings. And then
that's great. Yeah.
Number four, I have Glass Onion, which was good, but not as good as Knives Out, but it was still good.
Yeah, I feel like that's the consensus, but I feel like it's right under there. Like, Knives Out is just amazing, and Glass Onion was a worthy follow-up, because I don't know if they could have outdone it.
Yeah, I just think it's too big. That is still my biggest thing, but we're not here to talk about Glass Onion. Number three, I have The Banshees of Inisherin. Except I just wrote Banshees here because I didn't want to write the whole thing.
A long title.
Yeah, great movie.
But I like how you wrote Banshees, but you wrote the whole title for Batman and Superman: Battle of the Super Sons.
There's no way I was gonna remember that title. yeah, I really liked this one. I think if I were to like watch it again, it could even like I debated putting this in my one or two slot. But I just couldn't like decide without having watched it again. Number two, I have Top Gun Maverick, which
man,
again,
military propaganda at number two. Hate to see it.
Hate to see it. Saying that as Captain America is my favorite Avenger.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah,
you know, all about that America right wing propaganda here. Number one, yeah. The Batman. That's my number one because it went to my number one the first time I saw it
and stayed there.
And it stayed there.
Mine stayed there till November, so it was like Batman was sticking strong for me too.
Yeah, and this is a 4.5 for me. Maybe if I were to watch it even again, it could be a 5-star movie for me. Who knows?
You know what the best part of Batman is?
What?
Is when Riddler goes like, "No, no, no, no! This is not how this was supposed to go." That's me on the podcast when it's not going well. That's I was like, "No,
I love
this
Paul
is
Dano.
Not how this was supposed to go." I love
no,
Paul Dano
Batman's
too.
A great movie. Yeah. You know, it's possible that maybe I'll see something else and that will take the number one spot. If I saw a 5-star movie, I didn't see a 5-star 2022 movie.
I got
so
one. Babylon was my last minute edition, but I was waiting
to. I know that I'm a hard ass and it's fine.
I know there's a 5-star out there for you.
I know that there is. And there's a few that I still think could be it. I just, it just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep praying, keeping you in our hopes and our thoughts and prayers that you will find that 2022 5-star movie that you've been looking for. Speaking of 5-star movies but not 5-star movies because these weren't 5-star. These are some movies that we saw last year that were pretty good, but they missed the top 10, but we still wanted to talk about them because, you know, you don't have to be the best to always be talked about. We're all about equality here on Secondhand Film Critics. And this is the place that we can lift up the lesser heard voices of the lower ranked films. Okay, I'll just go through mine really quick. I have The Menu at 11. I just wanted to put this in because, like I said, it was like so close. This and Everything Everywhere, I was like, I don't know, but I really love The Menu. I had a great time watching it. It was a real surprise because I wasn't really expecting to like it as much as I did. And it was one of the I did this with a lot of movies this year because I just didn't have time to watch a ton of trailers. So I didn't really know anything about this movie going in. And it was one of those where, like, I was really glad that I didn't because it was really fun to, like, watch everything unfold. My number two is This Place Rules. This is a documentary that HBO did about, like, the time between, I think it's, like, starts a little bit before the 2020 election and then it goes until a little after January 6th. And for most of the movie, they have people like on the ground, like just interviewing people at a lot of the protests that were going on around that time, mostly like Stop the Steal kind of protests. And so they interview people that are there for that protest. They interview people that were there like protesting against the protest, like really just anyone that's on the scene at the time. And there's other things that go on too, but that's like the main bulk of the movie. And I thought it was a really great example of just that moment in time and time capsule, because it doesn't really do much to sway you to one side or the other, maybe towards the end a little bit, but I just thought like there's not really many other things that could document that moment in time so clearly, and so I really thought it was like a really cool like artifact of its time. And also I was thinking this in the Borat 2 would be a great double feature as well, because even Borat 2, it's like fiction but it's also nonfiction. Like the things that happen in that movie are also real. So I thought that, like, two movies that I think really capture that time really well. Number three, I put Bullet Train. These are some of my lower ones. Like, this was number 27 on my list. I just put this in here because I thought it was really fun. It was one of, like, those summer movies that I always like to watch where it's, like, not anything I'll ever watch again or think about much afterwards. Has a lot of problems, but it's just fun to watch just scene by scene. And there were some really great moments and really funny moments that I laughed at that I still, like, kind of think about. So that was good. And then number four, I cheated because I put X and Pearl because, like, they're both like in the same series. Mostly because I just thought, like, this is a series that I really didn't know about going into the year, right? And it's like now exiting the year, I have two movies in this series that I really enjoy. And that was just a really fun experience, I think, just being a part of that. Like, the natural, like, growth of the movement of people that liked X. And then the fact that, like, 5 months later, I was back in the theater, like, watching the sequel. It was just surreal. I was like, I can't believe I'm already watching the sequel to this movie that I saw, like, 6 months ago. And I'm really excited, too, for the third one, which I think is the last one. I think it's going to be a trilogy, so see how that one is. I don't think they're perfect movies, but I think they were just really fun and probably some of the movies I'll associate most with 2022, just because I feel like I didn't know about them beforehand, right? So it's like, it really feels like something from the year. Yeah, those are my four, technically five movies.
I only have two because when I was looking at my list, I realized there's just not a lot of movies that I liked from this year, or we already talked about a lot of them, so I didn't want to have to, like, rehash a bunch of movies that we've already talked about on the pod. The first one I put down was Fire Island, which was my number 14. This was the, like, Hulu original movie that's basically, like, Pride and Prejudice inspired, but gay. It's funny. There's a lot of, like, I actually just saw one of the scenes from it, like, remake its rounds around Twitter of, like, people have been posting scenes and, like, performances and stuff. And they were posting, like, a comedic scene from this. And I was like, wow, that was a really funny movie. I feel like I should watch it again. And then the other movie that I have here is After Sun, which I think is number, like, 12 on my ranked. This was one that I really, really, really wanted to like, a lot. And then I didn't like it a lot. Like, I gave it 3.5, so I did still really like it, but I didn't like it, like, as much as I was expecting to like it. But I think one thing that it made me really think about was how, like, creative this director is. Because I think there were a lot of creative choices in it that were, like, kind of surprising to me, that I think, like, this is a director that we'll definitely, like, want to keep tabs on going forward. Charlotte Wells, to see sort of what else she's making, just because I think that there's a lot in this movie to be liked and a lot of things that were, like, very interesting about the way that it was made and its uniqueness, and obviously great performances. So I'm excited to see, like, more of her movies. That was kind of my main takeaway from it, was that, like,
yeah,
I just feel like she's has a very strong, like, future ahead of her in directing.
Yeah. When I saw it too, like, I gave it, I think, the same, like, 3.5. And I think, like, it definitely wasn't a perfect movie, but I am really excited to see what she does next. And I really loved the cinematography, especially. I thought it was really, like, cool, and the visual storytelling. Because there's a lot less actual story than I think I expected going in.
Yeah.
So the visuals have to do a lot, and even, like, the sound and stuff. So if anything, I think it's a really interesting movie that has been getting really popular. Like, it doesn't feel like a movie that a lot of people would be praising. I expected it to be much more by the numbers for how much praise it was getting. But it's actually, there's pretty experimental, I think, in a lot of the ways, like,
yeah,
it tells its story. So even if it wasn't perfect, like, I appreciated the effort, I guess.
Yeah, that's where I was with it.
I feel like it could have been a lot more basic, and I would have rather it been the way that she did it than the way, like,
yeah,
that it could have been told.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that was one of the main things I liked about it, was that, like, I did feel like it was trying to say something. It wasn't just, like, oh, here's this Oscar Beatty movie that's like...
Yeah, it could have been so Oscar Beatty, and that's what I thought it was going to be.
And I think that they did a really good job of making it something that, like, for a lot of people that it really connects with, it would be, like, something much more memorable and interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it sticks out. It differentiates itself in that way. All right, we already have, we also have this one section. Man, we got a lot of sections in this. Some movies we watched in 2022 that we really did like, but these are not ones that came out in 2022.
Yeah, they're not 2022 releases.
I'm going to fly through these because I don't have a ton to say about them. And like people have already heard about a lot of them. So it's like whatever.
Yeah, because we've talked about all the movies we've watched all year. So it's kind of just like.
Yeah, it's a little redundant. For that reason, I didn't put in Jesus Camp or Kelly Loves Tony because I've talked about those, I think, twice this year. So I have American Movie, which I know a lot of people really like that documentary, but I had for some reason had like never heard of it. So I was like shocked by how good it was. I gave it 5 stars. Loved it. Basically my favorite kind of documentary. Silence, Martin Scorsese. I didn't think I was going to like this one as much as I did either. I thought this was going to be a very like kind of Oscar Beatty too, but I don't know why I thought that, because like the cast and the director, like it was just it was an incredible movie. I think like top three for me of the ones I've seen of his. Miller's Crossing, a great Irish mob movie. Didn't really like the ending, but I thought it was really engaging. And usually in these kind of movies, I lose track of everything that's happening. And in this movie, I did not. So that's real. Like, these are the kind of movies where like 30 minutes in, I'm like, I literally don't even know who any of these people are. Like, that's what happens, but did not happen this time. I put Elevator to the Gallows, Louis Malle. I thought this was a really great French New Wave movie that felt really modern, because I think a lot of them are pretty, like if you show the average person like a French New Wave movie that doesn't watch movies a lot, then I don't think they would really like it. But this one felt, I thought, really modern in the way it told the story and the way that like the performances were. So I thought that was really interesting. And then that got me on, I watched a couple more of Louis Malle's movies, some of his documentaries. God's Country, I thought was really good. I think I might have talked about it, but it was like, yeah, when he goes to like a small town and interviews everyone, and then he goes back like 5 years later, and it takes place during like Reagan era. So it like shows the impact that a lot of those political decisions had 5 years afterwards. Yeah, those are the ones I put down.
Great. I put down a few that I think I've probably talked about a little bit. The first one is Morris, which you still need to watch.
I do.
1987 film with Hugh Grant. Basically, like, I mean, it's gay. It's like, it's a like dark academia, light academia, like a little bit of both, sort of kind of going through, it's focused on the character of Morris, but sort of goes through their like relationship where they're like both gay, but then one is like closeted and isn't going to come out because obviously like it's criminal to be gay in that time. So not in the 80s, this wasn't set in the 80s. And then In and Out, which is kind of like a comedy. Well, it is a comedy. I don't know why I said kind of like it is a comedy. That came out in 1997, where a teacher is like one of his previous students won the Academy Award for like best acting. And it was a film where he played like a gay character. Mm. And so he says in his speech, I want to thank my teacher who like taught me what it is to be, or is like a good gay role model or whatever. And he's like, what? And all the people that are watching it are like, what? He's gay? And it's this whole thing where he's like about to get married, to like this girl, played by Joan Cusack, which is great. So it's really funny. It's kind of like, it's short. I would recommend it. It's like 90 minutes. And it's just him then like questioning his sexuality basically in a comedic way. It has a great, like, there's like a great final sequence that's pretty funny. You should watch this one. We should watch it sometime.
I think I've had it on my watch list for a while, I think.
Yeah, there's some great scenes in it. That would be a good sitcom. Mm. And then I watched Mikey and Nikki. Which is obviously a pretty, this is in the Criterion collection, and I ended up buying it after I watched it, and it's good. It's, again, got some great gay subtext in it, but it's also just a very fun, like, it definitely, you haven't seen this one, right?
No, it's been on the watch list.
Yeah, I think you would really like this one, because it's kind of like, it actually kind of gives me Odd Couple vibes, which is funny, but maybe a little bit more serious.
Maybe a double feature there a little bit.
And then, So This Is Paris, which I feel like I talked about.
I think you did. This is the This is like the pre-Haze Code one.
Pre-Haze Code movie. It's only like, it's under 70 minutes. Came out in the mid-20s. I like just happened to watch it because it was on HBO and was like leaving HBO. And I was like, let's watch this short film.
That's the third HBO move joke I've made in this episode.
Only 1,200 people have vlogged it on Letterboxd.
Wow. So. I can't wait for you to watch Babylon. I feel like, man, if you like this, it's like, it's so, wow. Okay. Anyway, what's your number five? Because I did note your number five.
Yeah, my number five is Northanger Abbey.
We need to start a fan club for this movie. This movie is awesome.
I watched this one for the first time. I can't believe I had never seen this one before. But I watched it, well, we both did when we were doing our like Persuasion episode.
Yeah. We should have done an episode on this one. Like, just when I saw Persuasion, we should have just ditched it and done this movie instead, just for fun.
Yeah. This one is so good. I watched it more than once this year because it kind of like, I don't know, like it's just a great like comfort movie because it's 90 minutes. It's perfect. I love it. It just makes me happy thinking about it. And it's dumb because I wanted to get like a Blu-ray of it, but they only have like these really like, they're like $40 to buy this Blu-ray because it's like the masterpiece classic.
And the cover sucks. And the cover sucks.
So I'm going to need Criterion.
Please make a Criterion of this movie that no one has really watched.
Northanger Abbey 2007.
Oh yeah, cover sucks. I hate too like how they have the big PBS like thing over the top. Yeah, awful cover.
And I'm not going to spend $40 on that. No. Unfortunately, so I'll just keep watching it, streaming it as long as I can. Yeah, so those are my five.
Cool. Let's quick go to an ad break then. Then when we come back, we will discuss the movies that we are looking forward to in the coming year. Man.
2023.
Get these 2022 movies out of here, even though we have to talk about them for the next 2 months because of the Oscars, but we're done. I'm looking forward to the future and looking what is coming out. We've already technically had a month, but nothing really big comes out in January usually.
Yeah,
so it's
we
like,
saw Megan. That's so far the only 2023 movie populating my ranked list.
I just watched Infinity Pool today. Infinity Pool rocks. It is a great movie that everyone will probably hate. And I can't believe that they released it in theaters. So thank you to Brandon Cronenberg and Mia Goth and Alexander Skarsgård for making my day. Great film. let's just go through some of these. You took a lot of the big ones. I really had to go and find some, but I feel like we both have good lists. And there's a lot to be excited for.
Yeah, because I did that, yours are more unique than mine, because I like made the document and then I just kind of like populated my list. Like I just wrote down a bunch of movies that I was like, oh yeah, these are coming out this year. So I kind of stole them all first, but
you got the big ones, and I can tell the audience about some of the ones.
I mean, you
that
got
maybe
some big ones too.
I did too.
I mean, do you want me to do my list first?
Sure. Yeah, why don't you go for it?
Okay, so the first one I have This could be, it could be the only thing that makes me very wary about this one is that it is a musical. And this is Wonka. And this could be my most anticipated of the year if it weren't a musical. Like, if it were just not a musical, I would be like totally 100% buy into this movie.
You're not down with musicals?
I am. But like, I...
known musical hater over here.
No, I do love musicals. I just have like a lot of musicals recently have just not hit.
That's so true. In the Heights.
Ugh. Yeah, In the Heights was not good.
West Side Story slapped, though.
Yeah, but it was still like it was good, but it wasn't like, you know what I mean?
I disagree. I loved it. But every other musical, I agree.
But the other problem with that one is we knew the music was going to be good. That's the other issue with West Side Story.
In the Heights was less the music and more just like the movie was one of the blandest things
I've ever
seen. Yeah,
the movie was bad. And some of the singing was not good. But my issue is original musicals recently have not been up to par.
Okay.
And fair. I worry about this one. And also, like, I don't know. But I am very excited about this one, mainly because Timothy Chalamet is in it. And I'm a whore for Timothy Chalamet. What can I say?
You know what people actually, though, haven't talked about as much was Pinocchio is kind of a musical. And I love the songs.
It is
Pinocchio.
Actually, when there was a song in that, like the first song, I was like, wait a second.
And I thought like it worked pretty well. So I feel like that is actually one where recently I've like, this is pretty good. But you're right. It's like, is it going to be like we are Oompa Loompas going through the field making some chocolate?
But I'm very, very excited to see Timothy Chalamet as Willy Wonka.
Are great.
This is my dream. So
speaking of seeing an actor as an iconic character, though.
Barbie! Yeah, so obviously, you know, Barbie's on the list.
Most anticipated for me, for sure.
Yeah, Barbie Hive. I wouldn't say this is my most anticipated, although I guess it is yours.
I mean, I was kind of joking, but honestly, I'm really not joking. I feel like there's other ones that may be more exciting, but I just feel like that is the most exciting movie for me. Like, I just can't wait to see what it is like, because even the teaser like didn't really show us anything. I'm just so excited to see like what they did.
Yeah. And then also Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse carried over from last year. The trailer is great. I'm very excited about this one. Dune Part 2 again, my boy yes, on the big screen, my guy. And then I put Legally Blonde 3 on here again.
Going to be on the list for the rest of our lives.
Just maybe next year again, it'll be on the list because it's just hard to know. I don't know. I don't know that it's going to come this year, but
I've not heard one thing about this movie. I'm convinced that this is real. I don't know.
I am convinced that it is, and I will not let my hopes be brought down. So no thank you for that. Then I have Peter Pan and Wendy, which I've talked about a little bit because this is one that it's so hard to know. We haven't seen any, like, they showed like maybe a clip in the whole D23. They played like, I don't know, it was like 2 seconds. So obviously we don't have anything about the movie itself. Disney live action doesn't have a great track record.
True.
Unfortunately, but this is the one that is going to change it all. So we have Little Mermaid and this coming out this year. Little Mermaid is not on this list, but Peter Pan and Wendy is, and I'm very excited for it. Asteroid City obviously started to steal this one from you. So we're getting 2 Wes Anderson movies this year. Asteroid City and Henry Sugar, unless one of them gets pushed back. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see.
I lied. Asteroid City is my most anticipated, obviously. Henry Sugar, you know, we'll see what it is. I feel like it's like Asteroid City is the Wes Anderson movie for the Wes Anderson heads. And then Henry Sugar will just be a nice, like, if it doesn't have to be perfect, you know, because we're already getting the big Wes Anderson movie. So I feel like it's good that it's not just Henry Sugar, because just I feel like that. But who knows? Fantastic Mr. Fox, also Roald Dahl. Great movie, like one of his best. So doubt Wes Anderson at your own cost, I guess. Who knows? But I'm really excited. I can't believe we're getting 2 Wes Anderson movies in the year. What a treat.
Yeah, what a crazy year. This year, like, two Wes Anderson movies.
Pretty crazy.
The next one I'm about to say, a Miyazaki movie.
Yeah.
Succession season 4.
Wow. Wow.
Succession. I mean, it's just crazy. Okay, yeah. How Do You Live, the Miyazaki movie, his final movie.
Yeah, I can't believe he's making it. It's crazy.
Yeah, so this is supposed to come out sometime in the latter half of the year, I think is the aim for it. And then the final one that I have on my list is Challengers, which is, I don't know how to say his last name, Luca
Guadagnino.
Guadagnino,
yes.
Yeah, so this is his movie with Zendaya and Mike Faist.
Wow, what a cast. Wow. That is.
This is my year.
I forgot
year.
That Mike Faist was in that. Wow, that's
I
crazy.
I have not forgotten. I actually forgot Zendaya was in it.
I didn't know she was in it either. This I just is, remember. I knew he was having a movie.
This is my movie. This is my year.
Luca saw us clamoring for more Mike Faist roles, and he was like, I got you guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, so I can't wait to get some good Mike Faist content this year, some good Timothy Chalamet content this year.
Yeah.
I'm just living for it.
You're so right.
So true.
So true, bestie. Love it. That's a great list. And now I feel like not all of these are winners, but I feel like there are some winners here too. So it's like, it could be a great year. I put Scream 6 here. We did not like Scream 5, notoriously.
No.
But I feel like I'm obviously going to see it. It is coming out way close to the fifth one, which is crazy.
Set in New York.
Yeah, New York.
And, like,
is this going to be like the Home Alone 2 of the series? Can we get the bird lady?
The trailer, that would be awesome.
That would be such a cool
cameo. The trailer came out and everyone was like mad about the shotgun thing. I thought it looked awesome. Did you watch the trailer?
No. Again,
okay,
I'm just
so
not
there
a trailer
was a,
guy right
there
recently.
Was a trailer where it's basically like a clip almost where like... Okay. He Ghostface comes in and they're like in a convenience store in New York and someone comes up to him with a shotgun and he like takes the shotgun from them and like shoots someone in the face with the shotgun. And everyone was like,
why were they mad about that?
Well, because everyone is like, why would Ghostface use a shotgun? And like,
because there's a shotgun
stuff.
In front of him. Like, what are we
I
doing,
was like,
guys?
Nah, this
what
rocks.
Are we doing?
I was like, if we get this, I was like, I don't know. This is pretty cool.
We've already had 5 movies with Ghostface with a knife. Ghostface needs a new weapon.
Yeah, come on. No, it's canon, though. He has to use the knife. But then everyone was like, but Ghostface killed someone with a garage door. So obviously, like, he can kill someone with a shotgun
what
too.
A stupid
so,
conversation.
I can't believe you didn't see that discourse. It was
what
like a whole 48
I'm so
hours.
Glad. I am
like,
so glad. Because Ghostface is a different person every time. It's not that, what are we doing here?
It looks fun though.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be huge. After Wednesday, I think they're going to push the Jenna Ortega content hard.
Yeah, which I want to say, when we watched Scream 5,
we said
that
she was the best part.
We said she was the best part. We were like, Jenna Ortega hype, let's go. And now everyone else is on the train too. So
yeah. So I really think this is going to be a big movie. I'm like convinced. I got halfway here the Mario movie, you know?
Yeah,
we got to do it, you know? Even though even though it's Chris Pratt, you know, everything else about this movie I am excited for. I think the animation looks great. I think all the other cast members sound great. Jack Black doing a great Bowser. It's really short runtime. I'm just I'm very optimistic for Mario.
We're definitely, this one is in our schedule, so.
Yes, 100% covering the Mario movie.
We will be talking about it.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Not
yet.
Feel like it's like Marvel movies right now, like not really high on, but Guardians of the Galaxy is like, feels like a different thing. You know, this.
And this is the one where Chris Pratt is acceptable. Like we go yes. from Mario where it's like, no,
he
thank
can
you.
Be, he's allowed. Cause this is like what he's good at. You know, you can do this. He's fine. And it's already been his character. I really hope this is good. If this is not good, that would
when
be
Rocket
a huge
dies,
downer.
I am going.
The trailer
to
is
cry.
Great though.
The trailer is good.
Is awesome.
I have high hopes. This is one that
gotta
like
have high hopes for living. You know what? I have high hopes because Panic at the Disco is broken up, so that is where my high hopes come from.
Yes.
High hopes for the music industry. Oppenheimer, the Barbie counterpart here.
Yeah, double feature.
Do you think they're gonna move the release dates?
I thought about it, but I think now it's too big of a deal to do it.
Yeah. Are you going to see both movies in the same day?
No.
I don't know if I will either. Well, the problem is I know Oppenheimer is going to be long. I know it will be.
I will see Barbie first, and then I will see Oppenheimer.
That's probably what I would do too. But maybe I would see Barbie early on in the day, and then I'd see like Oppenheimer in like an IMAX late screening. I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
You know what's really funny? This is going to be almost probably too embarrassing for me to say out
Nothing
loud.
Nothing is too embarrassing.
This is. They played the trailer for this, I don't know, in front of a movie I watched recently. I don't remember what movie. Some new movie. And for some reason, I did not process that this was a Christopher Nolan movie.
Like you didn't know it was a Christopher Nolan movie, like, at all? What?
I might have known that at some point.
That is crazy.
But because I just hear the title so much, and it's not like Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer,
I wasn't thinking
about this being a Christopher Nolan movie, and I didn't know it was the Oppenheimer trailer, because it didn't say, like, Oppenheimer, and I hadn't watched the trailer online, and they played the trailer and I was like, damn, is Christopher Nolan making a new movie? Is there a new Christopher Nolan movie this year? And then I said Oppenheimer, and I was like, what? Christopher Nolan directed Oppenheimer?
That is good.
Which is so embarrassing of me, but just goes to show that like I've not been keeping up with that one at all. So
Yeah, I think I remember when the cast got announced and there was a lot of big lull, and now it's been a big thing now with like the Barbie thing. Ferrari, Adam Driver, you know, sure. I think I like car movies. And Adam Driver, I liked him. He thought he was really funny in House of Gucci, one of the only good parts. And I mean, we got Patrick Dempsey, Penelope Cruz, directed by Michael Mann. Like, I think this could be really cool. I'm holding hope. Killers of the Flower Moon. What else is there to say? Just release the movie, please. Please. Why is it taking so long? But I'm very excited for this.
Watch it like end up being horrible.
I'm worried they're going to delay it to like October, or like not put it to October for Oscars. That's like my thing. Because I feel like at this point it's done, but they probably don't want to release it now. Too far away from nominations, so
sure.
Gotta hate that. But Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, what a title that is. You know, it's the last
Tom Cruise, the last two back.
The movies are back. Will this be another Top Gun Maverick, you think?
I think it could be. I mean, the stunts are like insane,
but I'm saying like a cultural impact wise, like do you think?
I think it will be.
I think so too. I think this has the chance to be the movie of the summer, so we'll see. I put Haunted Mansion here. Do you know they're making a Haunted Mansion movie with Owen Wilson?
I did not know that. This is the first time I'm hearing that.
I heard about this today. And I was like, what? Haunted Mansion with Owen Wilson? Look at the cast for Haunted Mansion. It is the biggest like hit or miss cast, though, you'll ever see.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
So just read through the cast for us.
Okay, so we've got Rosario Dawson, Chase Dillon, Lakeith Stanfield, Tiffany Haddish, Owen Wilson, Danny DeVito, Jared Leto, Jamie Lee Curtis, Winona Ryder, Dan Levy, Hasan Minhaj, and Elisha Davis. That's crazy.
It's like this cast is so many highs and so many lows. And did you mention Tim Allen?
No, because that is not in the Letterboxd cast.
I have Tim Allen here too, and I did not know that Tim Allen was in this. So this is like really the most hit or miss cast. Like, oh, you're going to Owen Wilson, Danny DeVito, and then Jared Leto, Tim Allen, Jamie Lee Curtis.
I did not know this movie was happening. The director's last name is Seaman. Sorry.
He made the Dear White People.
I see that
movie.
This could be good. Anything with Owen Wilson is a W for me usually.
Exactly. That was my
except the Marry Me movie.
Right. Oh man, what a disappointment that was. Okay. I Beau Is Afraid. Trailer was good. Ari Aster. I feel like this is another thing. I don't love Hereditary, but I know like it's a good, really good movie. Like technically, it's just like I think it's kind of boring sometimes.
I don't know why they changed the title though.
I don't know either. I guess we'll see.
I feel like this
movie is great, like on the level of Midsommar, then I feel like Ari Aster is also going to be cemented as one of my like favorites of the generation. So we'll see. We'll see how it is. It looks very ambitious. So I'm holding out hope. The Killer. This is the David Fincher movie, his follow-up to critically acclaimed masterpiece Mank that everyone liked notoriously. So
everyone.
I am still a big Mank guy. I will defend Mank forever. And then I just put this on while we were recording this because I forgot. Air. Have you heard about Air?
No.
The upcoming American biographical drama directed by Ben Affleck, starring Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Jason Bateman.
Oh,
about
okay.
The signing of Michael Jordan to Nike.
I did hear about this.
Sounds awesome. This sounds so cool.
I saw stuff about this on the Twitter.
The Twitter, yes. I feel Ben Affleck has been on like the campaign trail recently about like equal pay for behind the camera workers. I think they're making their own they made their own like movie studio. I think this is like the first movie on their own movie studio, similar to like the Francis Ford Coppola one that bombed. And I think it's called Artists Equity is the name of the movie studio. Mr. Damon said in a statement that Artist Equity would allow film and television creators to take ownership of their creative power, providing a platform for both established and emerging filmmakers to streamline the development of their content. So Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, you love to see them looking out for the little guy.
Yeah, I think it's good that they're working together again, too. Like,
and they did The Last Duel together, so it's cool like they're doing that, and then they did this, so... Hopefully, I feel like they're best when they're together, you know?
Well, like, in Good Will Hunting, they did together.
Exactly, yeah. Like, they're best, I feel like, as a pair. I like them as the pair.
Yeah, the duo.
Lastly, this is not dated, so who even knows? Like, when is Maestro coming out? Because it was dated, and then I feel like Tar came out, and they were like, oh, wait a second, gotta wait on this one.
Yeah, I just, like, Bradley Cooper starring in this movie, I still will never be able to like get over because I just feel whenever this movie comes out, we can have a conversation about it. But I just really don't like that he casts himself in this movie because it just feels like he's trying to get himself an Oscar.
Well, didn't he already kind of do that with Star Is Born though? Like, I feel like that
yes,
was his thing with Star
and
Is Born too.
Failed, and so then he was like, "I have to do it again, but maybe this time if I play a gay character."
But it's Leonard Bernstein who is like a legend.
Yes, which is why someone who is not Bradley Cooper should play him. I'm excited about the concept of the movie, but not with Bradley Cooper playing him.
Jeremy Strong, Carey Mulligan, like that's a pretty good cast too. That is,
I mean, everyone, everything about this movie, but Bradley Cooper, I'm fine with.
Do you think he's like a good actor or do you not like him
as an
actor?
I don't think he's a good actor and I don't think that he should have cast himself playing a gay man. So,
yeah, I don't really even know when this movie is coming out too. Like, it's so weird. I think they had a release date and then they were like, actually, no. So it's really weird that they kind of like pulled back a lot of like the press for it because they were releasing photos. I think they just felt like they were amping up to it, and then they were like dropped it all. So it's really weird. Maybe it's not good then. Like maybe they're worried that people like aren't gonna like it, so they're trying to like really die the hype down. That's what
yeah,
I'm thinking.
I mean,
maybe.
It got a lot of backlash. So
when they did the photos, it did. Yeah. How more excited would you be for this movie if Jake Gyllenhaal was cast as Leonard Bernstein?
I would be more excited, but I would still have some of the same issues, but I would be more excited than if it was Bradley Cooper.
People have said him because of
Leonard Bernstein
being Jewish. Like,
yes.
That is why people have said him. And so it would be, like, one of the issues taken out of the equation.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Brokeback Mountain, so...
He was in Brokeback Mountain, and he was great in Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, so I feel like I definitely would have liked it better, for sure. And he was supposed to originally play the role in the first place. But I still think they should have cast someone else, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they should have, but they being Bradley Cooper, who wouldn't have cast someone else because
yes,
it was
I do,
him
do
casting.
Not think Bradley Cooper should be the lead, but I would have taken Gyllenhaal over Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I think we'll be able to tell how good the movie is based on when they're releasing it. Because if they're releasing this in November, then they think it's good. If they're releasing this in April, they think it's bad. That's how it will work. So we'll see. Now, just the last segment here. We're finally on to the last segment. Just 2023 podcast goals. We don't have a ton. I think we're going to stick with the series that we're doing. I like the four we've got. The Childhood Classic, Cinema Swap. We've never seen Triple Feature. I want to try to maybe get a couple more guests on the pod. I feel like last year we had some good solo episodes, or I mean solo being us, but I want to try to get some. So if anyone reaching out has some guest ideas.
Yeah, we had a few guests here and there for different things, but not super consistently.
First episode of the year, we had guests on. So maybe that's a sign that we will...
that we're doing it this year.
Turning it around. It's just so hard to, like... It's so much effort to reach out to people. Like
And just organize so schedules. The organizing schedules is harder, like, with
guests.
It's
so much effort to talk to people. I don't know.
But we do have some guests coming up.
Yes, we do.
We have a guest in February. Our good friend Peter will be returning for Ant-Man, Quantumania.
Wonder how that movie's going to be. I have seen the trailer multiple times, but like half watched the trailer. Because like I don't watch the trailer in the movie. Like I see it come up in the theater and I look at my phone.
I'm going to be taking the L on that one. It's fine. Only been talking about it for 3 years.
That is sad.
I'll take the L.
And then we are probably going to have a guest as well for the Mario Brothers movie. So we'll have that. Hopefully, yeah, we can get some more guests on. Do you want to do the announcement of our summer series for the year? This is kind of like with like the spring musical. We're like, let's announce the spring musical, guys.
Yeah, and all the drama kids are like, let's go. And then it's like Newsies and they're all like, yeah.
Yeah, all the tenors are like, yes.
Yeah, so we've talked about doing this movie series for a while.
Yeah.
And we decided what better time
to sink our teeth into the series.
And this last year, we really dug in with Wes Anderson and did a lot of movies and a lot of content. So we were like, what if we dial it back and did less movies? Again, we dialed it back from Star Wars and then Wes Anderson, and we were like, we need to do less. Less is more.
every year, we're like, what has less things to watch?
So this summer will be... the summer of Twilight, where we'll be watching
Wolf Howl.
All the movies in the Twilight series.
We have
never seen these movies.
Never one of them.
I think it's a little more crazy that I have not seen them than you.
Yes.
I was not allowed to watch them when I was
in
high school.
Never.
Yeah, definitely a no-go. And then... by the time we were older, it was like, obviously, I don't know, it just never happened.
I feel like by the time I could have, it was not cool, but at this point, it's like, kind of cool again to like
them. Yeah, and there are some things I definitely know about the series, because like, I have friends that are into Twilight, and so I'm familiar with things that happen in Twilight, but I feel like I'm a little more familiar with the books than I am with the movies, even though I haven't read the books. So my plan is to read the books along with this.
Okay, maybe I will too. I'm not making the commitment now because I don't want to be, I'm scared of commitment, guys. But we'll see. It will be interesting at least if you read them to get that perspective and maybe I'll
join. I feel like
what
we need to do is at least do the first book with the first movie and then have Danny and Laura on.
Just the thing is, it's like, I just don't know if I want to like go out like to the beach and like pull out a copy of Breaking Dawn. And just feel just like reading. I don't know. It just feels like a little late to be on the Twilight train.
Just change the cover. Put something else over the cover.
Yeah, maybe I'll buy like a Kindle or something just so I can read them in secrecy. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to finally see what all the fuss is about, or lack of fuss, I guess. I think with that, then our question of the week should be: what movie from 2023 are you most looking forward to? So, it most likely, we've talked a lot of movies, so it could be one of the ones we discussed, but maybe there's another one that we didn't talk about that you're really excited for.
Yeah,
maybe
there's quite a few other movies on the slate.
Yeah, I think, like, the biggest one we didn't discuss, or, like, the one that could be the biggest is The Marvels, because, like, that could be a big movie, depending on how they do it.
Well, and the Pixar, we didn't talk about any Pixar movies either.
Oh, yeah, the Elemental, right? That one?
Yeah, Elemental.
Well, because we were just talking about ones we were excited for, and I don't know if I'm excited for those.
Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm excited for Phoebe Waller-Bridge in that.
The new Hunger Games movie comes out this year, too, which I don't know, the book was fine, so I'm kind of... I don't know.
It just feels like a weird, like a too early to be bringing back the Hunger Games, in my opinion.
Like, I have no comment because I just have no comment. It's fine.
I just feel like I don't like. Is the culture ready for more Hunger Games?
See,
I feel like
okay,
they were really
I will
burned
just make
out.
The comment. The Hunger Games are kind of big right now because there's like this fan fiction piece that is like the biggest fan fiction right now because it's still a work in progress. Like the main fan fiction writer of like Marauders fan fiction is writing, and it's a Hunger Games rewrite with Marauders characters. And it's like way better than the Hunger Games. And so the Hunger Games are like really big right now because of this.
But do you think they are making this movie because of that, or like
no,
is that just coincidence?
I think they're making it because that book came out, but the Hunger Games fandom itself is like that fan fiction is really big. And then there's also someone that I've heard about who is rewriting. I've read Crimson Rivers, but I don't read Hunger Games fan fiction. But there's someone who's been rewriting Hunger Games from PETA's perspective also.
Oh, that's
and that's big right now too. And so it's like they're like the concept of Hunger Games is big, but I'm curious to see how it'll work because a lot of people who are Marauders fans that have been reading Crimson Rivers, which is like pretty popular right now, they changed stuff. And so it's like better than it was in the Hunger Games. So I think it'll be interesting to see how like the real Hunger Games are compared to like how it's been like reworked.
Is this a prequel, right? This book is a prequel?
This is a prequel. Yeah, it's really, I don't know. It's really weird. It's about President Snow.
Our favorite character.
Yeah,
from the
it's
Hunger
like
Games.
One of those things that like happened and people were like, why are you writing a book about Snow? Like everybody hates him. And it's kind of like the beginning of the Hunger Games. It's been a couple. I read it when it first came out. So it's been a couple years since I read it. But it's like the beginning of the Hunger Games. Like it's like the 9th or 10th Hunger Games, like before it's like a big, just as it's becoming a big like arena thing, like it's kind of in its inception, like before all the stuff that we're familiar with the Hunger Games. I'm not excited for it. That's why it's not on my list.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I'll see it, but we'll see how that pans out. Do you want to announce our next week's episode?
Yes. So we will be talking about Groundhog Day. Which is why we said that Mike's comment was a precursor, kind of foreshadowing.
Yeah.
It's what anniversary is it?
30th anniversary of Groundhog Day.
It just seemed like the time to talk about it. You love this movie.
Love it.
I don't love it, but I do like this movie. And it was funny because we were trying to come up with an episode, and I was thinking that this would be a fun movie for us to just talk about. And then you said it would be a good movie to talk about since it was the anniversary. And I was like, well, what
great
do you know?
Great minds.
Let's do it. So
yeah, I'm excited to, I haven't seen it in a couple of years. So I'm excited to revisit. I got the Steelbook that came out a couple weeks ago. That was like a big, like 2 minutes for me. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, it's the anniversary. We should do that episode. Oh man, I should own that. I looked it up. Oh my gosh, there's a Steelbook. Like it was a whirlwind of a 2 minutes of me realizing that it's 30th anniversary. There's a new Steelbook out.
Yes, and I was receiving all the text messages as the revelations were coming.
What is happening? And then I ordered it right away. So that will be out next Tuesday. And yeah, look forward to that. Until then, you can follow us on all of our social media accounts, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find us at our website. Find us anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you want, you can go leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts and or on Spotify. Really helpful in sharing us maybe with your friends, maybe your friends who also like movies, fellow secondhand film critics that you know. yeah, that's really all that I have, though. This is a lot. This episode was a lot, so I think I'm all talked out.
I am all talked out as well.
Man, a first for both of us. So thank you all for listening, and until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Superboy.
and we're your secondhand film critics.